Still as fresh as ever. The Nolan sisters. There was about five of them originally, wasn't there? They were of Irish extraction. The parents were Irish. I think they lived in Liverpool. And a couple of them had their names in soap operas and that since. A couple of them have suffered from cancer in recent times as well. But yeah, nice up-tempo song to get us all nice and happy on a Monday with news that the weather will be a lot better later in the week. Now, not in the mood for dancing, Patricia Ryan, Sinn Féin TD in Kildare South. Good morning to you, Patricia.
Good morning, Cameron. I've just danced around the office.
Have you? Well, that's good. At least somebody is dancing.
Absolutely.
Now, Patricia, you're very unhappy at a text that Carl Berry sent you recently. Let's first of all hear the text, Owen.
So this was on social media, and it is as follows. Hi, Patricia.
Now, when I say it was on social media, Patricia put it up on social media, isn't that correct?
She did indeed, and it was shared by Councillor Noel Connolly as well.
All right, just to be clear, that Carl Berry sent this text to Patricia, and Patricia later decided to share it on social media for reasons she will explain in just a moment. So the text was what from Carl Berry?
Hi Patricia, I hope all is well. As you know, I could have went to town on you and Sinn Féin on the voting debacle last night and the interview on KFM this morning. I didn't. I hope that's appreciated and remembered. I look forward to more constructive messaging on social media from your office in future. Happy to meet for coffee any time. Have a good weekend, Cahill.
What was wrong with that, Patricia, in your view? Did you describe that as sinister and threatening?
First of all, I just want to clarify that that message you sent to me the day before Carl was on your show. That's the first thing. Secondly, I thought long and hard about it, Clem.
Hold on a minute, Patricia. How could he have sent the text to me the day before he was... So just say that again.
I was on your show on Thursday.
Yes.
Carl sent me that WhatsApp on Thursday afternoon.
All right, okay.
And then
right.
He went on your show.
So
on
the next day, yes, yes.
So he had told me he could have gone to town on me, but he didn't.
Yes.
And then he come along and did just that the following morning. That's the first thing I'll say to you. Secondly, I thought long and hard about it, and Carl's interview on KFM, which is fine, is picked up by the Irish Independent, and he made serious allegations levelled at me. Carl claimed to have felt bullied into voting with Sinn Féin, and Clem, I can assure you that that's not how we operate. And I feel the grievances that are raised in public should be discussed in public.
Right, hold on a second now, because the article you talk about was by Fionnán Sheehan in The Independent, who picked up here on the interview on KFM.
Yeah.
And according to the article, and I recall Cahill saying this, that Dr. Berry, because Carl Berry is a medical doctor, says Sinn Féin is offering a dog ate my homework type excuses. The Kildare South TD said the party has a pattern of Sinn Féin misrepresenting what happens in Dáil votes. He said it is misrepresenting that a particular TD or party would be anti-woman or anti-children or anti-fishing or anti-housing when it totally isn't. Carl Berry said there is a track record there of misrepresenting how people are voting and what people are doing, which is not good enough. It is not designed to inform the public. It is designed to mislead, he said here on KFM on this programme.
That's what he said. And he said that Sinn Féin engages in sinister behaviour, which is totally untrue. And he needs to apologise for that, let me add, by the way. Now, what he said is, he's saying that it's not bullying to a point that, you know, he supported Micheál Martin. Let's call it out to what it is. His votes are there for it to be seen. And when I share something on Facebook, I don't just share Carl Berry's. I share stuff from what the votes say. That's the first thing. This is a not get at Carl Berry. And be very clear, we have two other representatives in South Kildare, if you count John Corley and you count Deputy Hayden. They don't send me WhatsApp messages, by the way. And I think Mr. Berry will go down in history along with Michael Lowry as the independent TD who supported the government in trying to seal the records of the mother and baby home.
All right, we'll come to the actual votes in a few minutes' time, Patricia. But Sinn Féin, nor yourself, Patricia, you're not wilting tulips when it comes to making very harsh criticism of other parties. So maybe those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
And isn't that what opposition TDs do? They actually oppose what the people say and what the people want. They actually, I'm here to do what I can for the people that voted for me, Clem.
As once it's all predicated on actually what happened. I'll come back to you in just a moment. Because Owen, Cathal Berry last night issued us with a very, very long statement, which begins that says, "I'm working as a volunteer doctor and vaccinator in Punchestown all day today, Monday, as part of the vaccination programme, so I'm unable to come on your show. Thank you for your kind invitation to make a statement, however." Now, he has issued a huge statement to us, and we'll try and get through it as much as possible. Owen, take it up there.
Yeah, so he says, "I'm very surprised that the controversial episode of the Sinn Féin walkout of the Dáil a few weeks ago has again been raised, this time by a Sinn Féin TD of all people. You might recall that Patricia wasn't present for the substantive vote on the Special Criminal Court, but gave a false impression during a KFM interview that she was. Nevertheless, I maintained a dignified silence throughout the controversy, as quite frankly, we are in the middle of a national emergency and I have far more important things to be doing with my time."
Okay, now hold it there for a minute, Owen, because he then goes on to pose a number of questions. And Patricia, I'll just address these to you in the form, in the way of just keeping the interview coherent, and you can respond. He says, "Does she accept that despite her posting numerous disparaging comments about me and other TDs and parties in the last 18 months, I have never once posted a comment about her, either good, bad, or indifferent?"
I don't post comments about him. I post comments about what the vote is in the Dáil. It's there on the record to be seen. All people have to do is Google it and they'll see what way he votes. I don't post about him.
All right. Does she accept that the voting numbers he outlined during the interview were 100% accurate, and that it would have been completely wrong for me to give bogus numbers to support her erroneous account of events?
What numbers is he talking about, dear?
He's talking about the voting numbers in the Dáil. And I presume what he means is that Sinn Féin did not abstain from the vote. Sinn Féin, because to abstain officially from the vote, you would have to press the button abstain. Sinn Féin left the Dáil chamber.
Yes, we did leave the chamber, and I did come back and clarify that to
you.
You are aware of that.
I am, yes, yeah. You did. Do you accept that the criticism of you during the interview came from angry text messages of listeners that were read out during the interview rather than from me, Cathal Berry?
What's that got to do with his voting record?
I'm putting a series of points he's making. He's saying that he has not made any disparaging remarks about you, and that any text that he has sent to you could not be described as sinister or threatening, as I think you have described that text, have you?
No, what it says is, he says we were sinister in what we do. That's what the interview on the Independent said. I never said he was sinister. He said we were sinister in what we do. If you look at the interview from the Independent.
Right, he accuses a small number of political parties of what he says, he describes it as weaponizing social media, Facebook in particular, and that these parties, and he's aiming, of course, at Sinn Féin in particular, are engaging in a type of what he calls virtual kneecapping or cyber punishment beatings of any individual who has the temerity to criticize even vaguely. The intent, of course, being to intimidate other public representatives or journalists into silence. That's very, very serious language.
But wording like that tells it all, doesn't it, really? And we wonder why we don't get women in politics, Clem.
Virtual kneecap. But he's accusing the party generally of virtual kneecapping or cyber punishment beatings on social media to intimidate those who'd be critical of Sinn Féin.
God, that's a lovely guy in politics.
No, but respond to that.
We don't kneecap anybody. And I'm a politician that's elected 18 months out. And I certainly do not intimidate anybody. We live in a democratic society. And people can 100% vote for how they want to vote. Nobody tells anybody how to vote in this country.
He describes it as Trumpian behaviour after the American president, Donald Trump, that Sinn Féin engages in similar sort of stuff on social media. And he asks that a code of conduct for public representatives on social media is long overdue. What's your response to that?
Well, maybe he should bring that forward in a motion and see where it goes. That's his prerogative.
Would Sinn Féin support a code of conduct?
I don't know what we'd support. We'd have to discuss it. And I certainly won't be supporting Cathal Berry in anything the way it's going at the minute. If he thinks he's going to come back and tell me to sit back in my box and sit back in the corner, be a good little girl and don't tell people what I vote, he has it wrong.
He says that he has exercised admirable restraint during your recent difficulties when the opportunity was there to politically capitalise on your difficulties.
What's my difficulties?
Political difficulties. In regards to the abstention of the vote, what you said on this programme...
And
hold on a second, Patricia. What you said on the programme initially, which was picked up by national media, that your vote was on the record, and then you came back the next day, let's be fair, and you clarified that you had misunderstood what was going on and you had actually left the Dáil before the voting was complete. Yes. He went on to say, I think we all know that Patricia would not have passed up a similar opportunity had the shoe been on the other foot. I hope Patricia appreciates and remembers this in future when I circulate a draft code of conduct for all public representatives on social media and seek cross-party support for such a proposal. Would she be willing to support such a code of conduct? Now, you've already answered that. You said you want to see it first. Owen, what else did Carl Berry say in this very long statement?
Yeah, it goes on to say, if Patricia needs any further clarification, we can grab a cuppa tomorrow in the convention centre, or she can contact me by phone at any time. Indeed, one of the reasons the taxpayer funds the purchase of TD's phones is to enable this type of communication between colleagues. In summary, I have no intention of discrediting Patricia or any other human being. Events of the last 18 months, which are already in the public domain, illustrate that Patricia is well capable of discrediting herself without any assistance from anyone else. Fortunately for Patricia, I'm a very forgiving person, and despite being quite entitled to do so, I have no interest in taking this matter further at this time and consider it closed.
Right. Do you consider it closed, Patricia Ryan?
It's closed as far as I'm concerned, but let me just finish on this. Last Wednesday evening in the Dáil, there was a vote done around housing, and Carl Berry decided that he wouldn't. He voted to make sure the people, Fulcher funds and Cuckoo funds, got a tax break. Is that somebody that's talking for the people? I have a list of things that are on public record that people can go and see. And as an independent TD, it shocks me to think of what way he votes. He voted on a ban on evictions. He voted to allow tax break, as I've just said. He voted on the Land Development Agency Bill, which dilutes councillors' powers on the sale of land. I could go on and on and on. They are there to be seen. My office is entitled, as is any other office, to show what the vote is in.
All right, okay. In regards to that, he also posted his images of some recent commentary on social media. Gavin Riley, for example, the political correspondent with Virgin Media, tweeted, the Dáil has approved an amendment to stamp duty which will see Cuckoo funds and other mass purchasers receiving refunds if they lease the properties back to the state for social housing. Despite Sinn Féin withdrawing pairing arrangements, the amendment passed with a majority of 15. And Carl Berry says in relation to that, Patricia deliberately posts the following message below about the finance bill. I've been asked by many constituents how I voted last night on the bill, which sneakily allowed a tax break for Cuckoo funds and Vulture funds to reward them for snatching up family homes. I voted against the amendment that would have introduced this measure and the bill itself because it contains this measure. Have a read of the debate on the link below and see who exactly is talking out both sides of their mouth. Make up your own mind, don't take my word for it. Now, without boring people in the extreme, why did Sinn Féin withdraw pairing arrangements for this?
I didn't make that choice. I don't know. You may.
You're a member of the Sinn Féin party, Patricia. Come on.
I do.
You're a TD for Sinn Féin. You can't just say, I didn't make the decision. I asked you if Sinn Féin is making decisions, I presume at the top level, they explain it to their TDs. Or do they not explain? Do they just tell you what to do?
No, they certainly do not tell us what to do. Things are always paired. Different parties pair different TDs.
But why did Sinn Féin withdraw the pairing arrangements on this occasion?
Well, you'll have to ask Sinn Féin that.
I'm asking you. You're an elected representative of Sinn Féin, Patricia.
Because that's what happens within policy. That's what happens.
No, I just asked. I know it happens. I asked you, for the third time now, Patricia, why did Sinn Féin withdraw the pairing arrangements?
I don't know the answer.
Well, maybe you might ask your headquarters.
Well, sure, we will, and we'll come back to you on a statement on it. But, like, you have to be realistic here. This goes on in all parties. Cathal Berry's independence.
Well, Cathal Berry says that the post that you just, that I read partially there, was to create the false impression that he voted in favour of tax exemptions for cuckoo funds when clearly he voted against them.
He voted, what he did was, he voted, he opposed the amendment which allowed a tax break for vulture funds. And then he voted on the substantive bill, which included the amendment.
And the reason he voted on the substantive bill, he says, is because it contained some excellent stuff. For example, the extension of the employment wage subsidy scheme until next December, the extension of the COVID restriction support scheme until September, the enhanced restart payments for businesses opening after a period of restrictions, the the business resumption support scheme, extensions of the 9% VAT rate until the end of August, and the warehousing, or if you like, the postponement for the moment of employment wage subsidy scheme overpayments. And he says the list goes on. Had the bill not been passed, the payments to ordinary workers and small businesses would cease. No mention of that, of course, and or the fact that Patricia voted against vital financial supports for ordinary workers. There.
And he voted against the ban on evictions.
What do you make of that now in regards to the bill we're talking about, the Cuckoo Fund Amendment? He says there's a lot of good points in relation to
that. That's his opinion.
No, it's a fact. I have read the bill.
Well, I disagree.
It's not his opinion. Patricia, I've read the bill, and all of these measures were involved in the bill.
Yeah, but do you understand what we're doing here?
Of course I understand. Yes, I do.
Vulture funds and cuckoo funds.
Yes.
And in South Kildare here, we have people crying out for housing. Cathal Berry knows full well how bad. We have almost 7,000 people on the housing list. If they can't get a house, they have to go into emergency accommodation or they have to go on the half carousel. He might be okay with that, but I can assure you I'm not.
All right, okay. He finishes up and we must conclude now very shortly. He says, it clearly outlines how Sinn Féin has adopted Donald Trump-type tactics and weaponised social media. All we're missing now, he says, is drain the swamp chance. But again, that is what Fianna Fáil bashing is really all about, isn't it? Just under a different guise. And he goes on then to give us a representation of what he calls personalised posts by you, where in one, you're listed on October 9th last saying Tuchty, Martin Hayden and Cathal Berry voted with the government to stop the restoration of the PUP for vulnerable workers and their families. They have no shame. But that, Patricia, is not true.
Why isn't it true?
Because they voted for the extension of all these things, which I have just explained to you.
And he voted against the extending of a fuel allowance to PUP residents.
But I'm talking about the cuckoo bill and all the financial things that are involved in that. And anyway, look it. Are yourself and Cathal Berry going to make up and be friends?
He must be joking. After what he's after saying, he needs to apologise.
What? Apologise for what?
For what he's saying about us kneecapping people and how we hint away we
no,
talk.
No, he didn't say you're kneecapping people. What he said was the tweets that you put up on social media and Facebook.
Hold on. One second. I'm not on Twitter.
No.
Very clear on that.
All right. The tweets that Sinn Féin put up on social media generally, whether it be Twitter or Facebook, and the stuff that you put up on Facebook, Patricia, he's saying amounts to virtual kneecapping.
Well, to look at it, it is what it is. People will make their mind up at the next poll or the next election, and we'll see where Cathal Berry is then.
All right, one last question for you before you go. Would you apologise to him for the personalised Facebook posts and stuff like that?
I didn't send him personalised. I don't send him personalised.
He feels it's personalised, so maybe he feels offended.
Well, maybe he should apologise first for saying we intimidate people for voting.
All right. In regards to that, Patricia Ryan, we'll leave it there and we'll see what to come about it. But you might find out, Patricia, why Sinn Féin withdrew the pairing arrangements, and you might also find out why you as a TD representing the people of South Kildare were not told by your party leadership.
I didn't say I wasn't told.
Pardon?
I didn't say I wasn't told. I said I would come back to you on it.
No, you did say you were. You said you don't know.
I said I didn't know what happened, why it was that way on Wednesday night.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
yeah.
You obviously weren't told.
Well, we all have different meetings and we do different things.
All right.
Unfortunately, we're very busy people.
No, I accept that, Patricia. I know how busy indeed you and all the other TDs are in relation to it. Anyway, thank you for taking the time this morning for coming on. That's Patricia Ryan, Sinn Féin TD. And in regards to Cathal Berry, the reason he issued this long statement is that he is working as a doctor and vaccinator in Punchestown all day today. We're not basically putting... our role is not as such to present one particular side, but what our role is to present a balanced view. And in the absence of Cathal Berry on this morning, we accepted his statement and said we would put those points, which we did, and let Patricia Ryan respond to them in as fair and as balanced a manner as possible. No doubt we'll get plenty of messages on this topic, and I'll bring you those after this.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie.
I should point out, in fairness to Patricia Ryan, that never at any stage, originally when we asked her about the voting situation in the Dáil, she never hesitated in coming on to explain her position. She did not hesitate for a second when we invited her back the next day to clarify her misunderstanding of what had happened in the Dáil that evening. And in fairness, this time she didn't hesitate indeed to come on and take the questions. I just feel it important that that should be pointed out. Very often we have a scenario with politicians who'll make a lot of noise in the background but then don't want to front up about it, or, you know, they'll go AWOL. In her case, she will present herself to answer and be accountable for whatever views were expressed. Anyway, Fiona Loughlin will be talking about the co-opt houses in the Shannon this morning, we're told. Clem, would you say hello to Joe and Adele, Fien and Tom and Irene? We're on our holidays in Donegal listening to your show. Can you play Stumbling In by Susie Quattro for Adele? No, I can't, because we're running way behind time already. Patricia Ryan is incredible, giving out about Cathal, who's actually doing a bit of work in the constituency and volunteering as a doctor in Punchestown vaccinating today. Patricia obviously has too much time on her hands to come on your show giving out. No, in fairness to Patricia Ryan, I have no doubts about her diligence in terms of performing her constituency duties. I'm making a point that whenever we ask her to come on the programme, she will readily come on the programme. Patricia can barely get a sentence together in the Dáil from her prepared speeches and wasn't even aware last week whether she was voting on important legislation or not. Don't think I'll be taking her opinion anytime soon about Cathal Berry. Patricia should take a leaf from Cathal Berry's book and look at him out volunteering, giving vaccinations in Punchestown. Why doesn't she take this silly little spat up with Cathal privately? So did Cathal Berry actually address the text message he sent, or did he just decide to try and attack the other TD? Chair says, I thought Cathal Berry wasn't taking part in this show. It sounds like Clem is his personal spokesperson. Chair, no, I'm not, and I've explained that now. So come on. You shouldn't be putting Cathal Berry's questions to Patricia Ryan if he's not willing to come on the show. Chair, are you listening at all to the show? He was not able. He's a doctor. He's out vaccinating people at Punchestown. He took a long, long time to put together a long, long statement so that we were able to have this feature on the programme. Clem, I nearly spat out my tea when I heard Sinn Féin's Patricia Ryan saying a warm, friendly text from Dr. Cathal Berry was sinister and threatening. What a load of fuss about nothing. Has she nothing better to be doing? She's an absolute embarrassment. It doesn't exactly inspire confidence that she even knows what she's voting for when she can barely read out the speeches that are written for her in the Dáil. Now, can we just keep the level of commentary here to respectful, please? Clem, for the record, didn't Cathal Berry vote to support the government's plans to increase TD's salaries? Have you ever thought of asking him why he decided to vote with the government on this issue, says Richard in Newlands Cross in Balia Áclia. Sheila says, Clem, having heard the Bord na Móna ad promoting wind energy on your show, I had to switch off. Bord na Móna are planning 50 industrial wind turbines, 200 metres height, across Kildare. You must know the negative impacts of infrasound and low-frequency noise. Has KFM now put their hand out for so-called community gain? Ah, Sheila. I suppose you will just say this is business. Well, it is, Sheila. You know, and what about the future of the poor people? How could you, Clem? Well, now, Sheila, this programme And I personally, and Owen Beattie and Ciara Noble, have given extensive coverage to you and the groups that you represent and the whole area of wind turbines across the last couple of years. And I think that's a bit rich of you now coming on to us on that level. Morning, Clem. Mick and Mead, I support Sinn Féin, but Patricia is talking pure, and I won't repeat the word in terms of that. Mick O'Leary, only man to run this country. Well, I'm not so sure now with Michael O'Leary as Taoiseach. Carl Berry is living in the past, as another listener. Final comment for the moment. Commenting about virtual kneecapping and virtual punishment beatings. These ridiculous comments belong in the 80s. He has voted with the government on many occasions. He has 0% chance of being re-elected, just like his buddies in Fianna Fáil. That's a fair reflection of them coming in. Oh, lads, I need a bit of diddly eye. And I'll step dancing or something like that, you know. Declan Angel, good morning.
That's a very good link, Clem, I have to say. Well done. Good morning, Clem. How are you?
Oh, jeez. Oh, how am I? I'm grand, actually, Declan.
Yes.
The Shamrock Cayley Band, they were busy in the 50s and 60s, Declan.
Yeah, the Shamrock Star Band was formed in the late 50s over in Robertstown in Kildare. Christy Brereton from Blackwood would have been the leader of the band, along with Dinny Moran from Robertstown and Pat Duxmoran as well, and they got the band going. It was a time in Ireland when Cayley dancing was incredibly popular. Just before the show bands came about, Cayley dancing was a massive, massive thing, and the band was very popular, not just in Kildare, but up in Dublin as well. There was a lot of ballrooms around the Parnell Square area, the Irish Club, and the AOH, and all those places.
Who were the members? Your father was in it, was he?
Yeah, my late father was a fiddle player in the band. Christy Brereton was the leader of the band. Then you had Dinny, of course, Dinny Moran, Dux Moran. My father, Willie, was on the fiddle. Paddy Dowland from Selbridge on the piano accordion. Who else do we have? Drummer from Cara, Jimmy Farrell, Goosey Farrell, or Dick Lenehan, depending on who was available on the night.
Who were the vocalists?
We were two vocalists in the band, Peter Gordon mostly, and Nessa O'Brien, and we had two piano players as well. Jack O'Brien and Tommy Lube were both piano players in the band.
No, I was going to say, are they all dead? But of course they're not, because I had Dux Moran in here only about a year or two ago. And he had got together, a new CD was out and everything else.
That's
Is he the
right.
only survivor of the band?
No, three survivors, Dinny Moran and Dux and Peter, are still together, and we got the three of them together last week for a bit of a photo shoot to promote the new CD, which we're just about to release, from the Shamrock Star Cayley Band.
It is indeed, and it's all in a good cause.
It is indeed, yeah. It was Margaret Brereton, who would be Christy's daughter, is a director of the Little Way Cancer Support Centre in Clane. So we're doing it in support of the Little Way Cancer Support Centre. We found some old recordings and...
I was going to talk to you about that, actually, because I was listening to it over the weekend. Now, for some reason, which I will get over, and as soon as Ceolúigas Cáint resumes, Ceolúigas Cáint hasn't aired last Tuesday, nor will it air tomorrow night, because we have matches going on. Important matches that we have to cover, and that. So Liam Kett's doing the extra hour. But as soon as Ceolúigas Cáint returns, which should be after tomorrow night on Tuesday week, I might be in a few days off. So maybe, certainly by the end of July, we'll air the CD for you. But I was listening to it over the weekend, and I was trying to upload it here on our equipment in studio, and for some reason I kept getting read out about final this, final that, and whatever else. We're going to see, can I sort it out later on? But I was struck by how old the recordings were. Where did you get them?
The band, Margaret was doing a bit of a clean out about a year ago, and she found some old tapes with the word Shamrock Star Cayley Band written on it. So we took a listen and discovered we had three or four, maybe five tracks, and we sort of augmented them with some live recordings we had from a DVD, and then we got some. We had a solo album at the time from Dux and from Dinny as well. And I put another track on myself there just to make the 10 tracks out of it. But yeah, the band recordings would be very much of the style of the Cayley Band back in the, the late 50s, the early 60s.
I know you have carried on the tradition yourself. You've made a number of CDs. I have some of them myself over the years. And indeed, I was looking in our system as well, Liam Kett. Liam Kett had you on as a special guest lately.
That's right. I had a great chat with Liam Kett. But not just me. That band produced many great musicians who, in themselves, produced great players. Mick Lube, who would have been a member of Ray Lynham and the Hillbillies and the Nappertandy Ballad Group, his father Tommy Lube was the piano player. Zach Moran over in Robertstown plays with the Druids now, a great musician and great singer. His grandfather is Dinny Moran, and many others as well who are still playing music today would be directly linked back to that band.
All right, that's fascinating altogether. So it's all in, all proceeds are going to support the Little Way Cancer Support Centre in Clain. Why did you choose that, Declan?
We chose that, myself and Margaret and Darren Burton, who was involved with the production as well, we sort of decided, well, we knew we were going to have an excess. We thought we'd just produce 20 or 30 CDs just for people to hear. But of course, you have to order 100, which meant we were going to have some over. So we decided what we'll do with the excess is we'll go for the Little Way Cancer Support Centre, because Margaret is a director down there in Little Way, and it's a fantastic cause, and they do great work and very, very much needed work down in Clain for anybody who's suffering from cancer. So we thought that's what we
mainly
do.
Children, is it?
I think it is, yes.
Yeah, mainly children with... they do fantastic. We've been familiar with them and indeed happy to support them over the years, the Little Way Cancer Support Centre in Clain. And generally, then, where will the CDs be available?
CDs are available in Mullaney's shop in Robertstown. They're also available from the Little Way in Clain. We're going to get them into possibly one of the shops in Prosperous as well. And also, if anybody wants to contact me, I'm available and I'm on Messenger and I'm on Facebook. I have them here and I can post them out, not a problem. I can do PayPal or whatever suits people.
Good man, Declan. When you mentioned PayPal and stuff online and Facebook and everything else like that, that's a lovely juxtaposition with recordings that go back to the 1950s and 60s, early 60s, and listening to it, you really capture the atmosphere of the ballrooms and the dancing and the Ceilidh bands at the time. Certainly, I'll be giving it plenty of a spin on Keologa's Kind, Declan, and it's great to talk to you this morning, and well done on the project.
Thanks very much for having us on, Clem. Really appreciate it.
The Shamrock Ceilidh Band, the 1950s, 1960s, so that CD is now available in the shops. Relive your memories and put on your dancing shoes. Thanks indeed to Declan Ainger for that contribution. Up next, we're going to review a very busy weekend of sport.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay then, welcome back, and what a busy weekend we had there across the weekend in regards to the Kildare Senior Hurlers, the minor footballers and the women footballers playing yesterday, and I can tell you there's another very busy week ahead as well. But let's start with the Senior Hurlers stepping up to the Joe McDonagh Cup, a higher tier. The Christy Ring Cup winners from last season came up against Westmeath on Saturday, a Division 1 hurling team, remember. So you're talking about a big gulf in terms of where Kildare were competing in Division 2A, Westmeath in Division 1. What a cracker of a game, Ger McNally.
Yes, Clem, yes, absolutely. Yeah, Kildare were in 2B, Clem, so yeah, they got out of that. They're in 2A next year. So yeah, the gulf, as you say, was absolutely massive. And going in against the Westmeath side, who were hoping to book a place in Croke Park themselves, obviously. And although Kildare came away with a 1-point defeat, you know, you'd have to be only proud of the effort that they put in, and not only the effort, because they're very skillful, and this really is the side that the whole of Kildare should be getting behind at the moment, because the job that David Hershey and those behind the scenes that have done over the last number of, you know, it's Hershey's third year, so to be playing at this sort of level now, Kildare have just come on in absolute leaps and bounds in the very recent past.
It seemed, Ger, at times that Westmeath were, well, very competitive first half, and it seemed maybe at times that Westmeath were going to get away a bit from Kildare in the second half. But what spirit and resilience they showed to come back to get on level terms.
Yeah, and very similar to, as they had done previously against Carlow in the previous game. Kildare started absolutely superbly. They led by 7 points to two, 4 points to two going into the water break. They scored the next 3 points after that. Westmeath then had a really strong spell in the second quarter. They got a goal that they led in the half-time, and they were... Again, Kildare came flying out at the start of the second half, but they got themselves back within touching distance, and a key moment in the game was Brian Bourne having a shot saved for a goal. It was a brilliant save by the keeper that could have put Kildare 4 points clear, and within a minute down the far end, Westmeath had got their second goal. As you said, it would have been easy for Kildare to drop the heads after that, but Kildare kept plugging away, and they got a quite outstanding goal themselves going into injury time. Shane Ryan was the man who set it up after Cahill Dowling had won the ball, and Jack Sheridan finished it off. And yeah, it was a level game in injury time. time.
A level game in injury time, Ger, and we went into 5 or 6 minutes of injury time and Kildare actually took the lead.
Yeah, it was to and froing. There was a chance as well. Brian Bourne had a chance from a free, and Kildare got themselves back. Now, I don't think they went ahead, though, Clem.
Did they not? I thought they were a point ahead at one stage. Sure, right, OK.
Not at that stage. They were ahead during the second half, all right. Not at that stage in injury time. But yeah, Westmeath scored 2 outstanding points. The winning point was an absolutely unbelievable score. But a win would have assured Kildare of the place in the John McDonagh Cup for next year, which would have been really important.
Yeah.
But instead, now because of that defeat, they're facing into a relegation final next weekend. And coming out of Westmeath, I was very, very confident that Kildare, if they could go in and next week for performance they did, that they would win that relegation
By the way, the last that winning point scored by Derek McNicholas from the out in the sideline in about the 6th minute of injury time was the last puck of the game, which gave the win to Westmeath. You know, a draw would have even kept Kildare, wouldn't it? Would have kept Kildare in the Joe McDonagh Cup permanently, well, for next season anyway, whereas they had to win by 4 points to actually make the Joe McDonagh Cup final. Playing Meath next weekend, any idea of where that venue might be, Ger?
No confirmation of that as of yet. But Meath themselves had an outstanding game against Kerry on Saturday evening, and that was a rather bizarre game because the Kerry defeat by Meath, I think it was 4 points in the end, that left the Kerry and Down tied on scoring difference, and there was a huge amount of confusion around Navan as to exactly who was going forward into the John McDonagh Cup final, and eventually it was confirmed that Kerry, but Meath having got that win, they basically go into the relegation final despite beating Kerry in that game the way the group worked out, so they're going to be a very tough proposition for Kildare next week. But it's a huge game for Kildare because they really need to preserve that Joe McDonagh status.
Keep
things going in the same direction because it's another big week at underage level first, and then hopefully that 3 wins with the underage team and then the senior hurlers, and then of course the senior footballers as well.
Are on next Sunday in Croke Park.
7 days ahead.
Alright, Ger, well, let's hear from David Harity.
A win by 1 point would have had us safe for the year. 4 points would have got us into a Croke Park, into a Joe McDonagh final. Meath in the relegation final next weekend, and that's life. Lads have waited a lot of their lives to play Joe McDonagh and play at this standard, and they're getting an extra game in it, so they just have to get the heads right now, stay positive. If they were playing poorly and getting bet well, you'd be coming in in a different mindset. They're playing bloody well. It's only small little things. It's a small bit of handling or the quickness of hands where we get turned over, but we're actually not getting turned over. We're actually giving them the ball. It's that bit of cuteness where we're kind of nearly shown. This has been an amazing week for Kildare hurling, but hopefully now the minors and under-20s and ourselves now can get 3 wins now next week and keep kicking things on now.
Yes, indeed. David Harity, former All-Ireland winning goalkeeper with Kilkenny, managing, doing a great job with Kildare. Well done to our commentary team, Ger McNally and former star Mark Maloney, for a really great commentary on Saturday. I listened to every word of it while down in the banner for the weekend. Now, of course, much more decisive was the Kildare Minor Footballers' win at noon on Saturday when they demolished Carlow 6-18-1-7. Pat Costello, hardly a competitive game, was it?
Well, it was competitive up to about the 27 minutes when Kyle Foley, the wing-back for Carlow, was sent off. The game really turned then. A bit harsh, I thought. And indeed, all of us in the press box thought it was harsh on Foley. The referee was showing more colours of cards than there was in the rainbow, yellows and reds and blacks. But Kyle Foley went off, and just before half-time, Kildare got their first goal from Colm Dalton, the full forward, and a penalty from Gavin Thompson. They got 4 more in the second half, and that was really it. That game won't have done anything for Carlow, and it certainly won't have done anything for Kildare either, because they're facing a Dublin team that were up against it against Offaly for a long time, but then ran out easy winner. So, but they're in a final. They're some lovely players on the pitch, some players coming off the bench as well. And Stuart Kevin is an experienced manager at college and minor level. So it'll be an interesting semi-final. But certainly they were very impressive and very comprehensive win on Saturday for Kildare.
And interestingly, Sir Kevlehan has experience with Dublin, hasn't he, Pat?
He has. He was involved with Dublin on a number of occasions, as I said, in schools football, but particularly at minor level and through with development squads throughout the county as well. So, yeah, he'll know the Dublin scene well, but as he explained to me afterwards, he doesn't know the current crop of players as such.
All right, OK. Pat Costello, and you can read his report in this week's tomorrow's Nationalist as well on that particular game in detail. And thanks for the coverage on Saturday, along with Peter McConnon. This is what manager Cyril Kevlehan and told Pat afterwards.
The performance was good. To be fair to Carlo, they pulled it up to us for a while, and we had to, I suppose, put them away, because They were in the game for the first half. And the goal was probably the telling change, really. But it was good, and we got a chance to use our panel and give lads opportunities to play and offer their performance to the group.
And now for the Dubs. And what a busy week, by the way, in the hurling front. Tomorrow evening, the under-20s are in Offaly at 7:30 in the Leinster Championship. Ger McNally will be reporting live on that game. On Wednesday, the minor hurlers go into action, and we'll have reports on that game as well. And of course, Croke Park next Sunday, the Leinster Senior Football Semi-Finals. We'll have news of that too. But let's go to the Kildare women footballers. They won their opening All-Ireland Intermediate Group match yesterday, beating Roscommon 111-107 in Ballinasloe. Star player for Kildare, Nasa Dooley, who scored a penalty and added 5 points as well. Laura Curran also had 5 points. Aoife Rattigan getting Kildare's other points. Seamus Dillon watched this game for us. Seamus, a very good win for Kildare.
Excellent win, Clem. Coming off the back of that league final defeat and facing into a Roscommon team who had lost the Laois by 3 points, and Roscommon had last year been All-Ireland semi-finalists. So Kildare coming nearly into Roscommon's backyard, for the want of a better word, knew they were in for a tour of time and a hard game, and certainly proved that for long periods throughout.
It was a very close nip and tuck first half.
Yeah, there was 2 points apiece after 5 minutes of the first half, nip and tuck. A goal from Lara Fleming, the Roscommon centre half forward, after 10 minutes, put them 1-2 to 3 points in front, and it was nip and tuck to the break. And Kildare led by 1-7 to 1-6 after Nessa Dooley's penalty put them 3 points in front, at 1-7 to 1-4. And the danger woman, Rebecca Finan, who caused Kildare problems throughout the game, got 2 points just before the break, 1-7 to 1-6.
Now Dooley's penalty was in 26 minutes. Now she certainly was very, very impressive between scoring the penalty and the points as well. But no player, as we said, makes a team, because we've mentioned some of the other scorers there. Now Kildare had that first half wind, but couldn't seem to stretch the gap against Roscommon in that first half. Seamus.
No, correct, Clem, and it was quite evident throughout periods of the first half. Roscommon were forced to shoot from distance, and the ball was dropping short. And three or four times, Dervla McGinn, the Kildare goals, took balls that were, as I said, dropping short. But after, in the second half, it was very noticeable that Kildare upped their work rate. The introduction of Erica Burke, who had been away for probably a couple of years, certainly made a big difference to the Kildare team. But their work rate was tremendous in that second half, and they held Roscommon to 1 point for all of that 35 or 36 minutes.
Wow.
That was played.
1-7 to 1-6 at half time. Then Roscommon just getting a single point in that second half. Kildare winning 111 to 1-7. And Kildare, you mentioned Erica Burke being introduced. Michaela McKenna, another very experienced player, was introduced. And also Molly Aspel, who's quite experienced as well. They did that. And in terms of what that means to them now, they play Laois next, I think, Seamus.
Yeah, next. It's a three-team group, Clem. Group C of the competition, which only has three teams. So yesterday's win was highly important, and going into the Laois game, a result will qualify them to get into the quarterfinals.
Right, and that's a repeat.
Really important.
Of course, that's a repeat of the Division 3 league final in Baltinglass of only 2 weeks ago, which Laois came out on top. So much to play for on that. Thank you, Seamus Dillon, our reporter at the ladies' game. Mark Maloney and Ger McNally are commentators at the senior hurling game, and Pat Costello and Peter McConnon, who were on duty at the minor game. And as I say, we'll have coverage of the under 20 hurlers, the minor hurlers, and of course the big one in Croke Park next Sunday, and all in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown.